Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Stop being stupid, people.
All bets are off.
You all suck.
I'm Morenci Unfiltered.
Scumbags!
Get on the grid, the sports grid, Morenci Unfiltered, the podcast. Let's do this thing. It's the Wicked Wednesday edition of the program, which means we're back on track, baby. Lou Gamblou steps up and in after a nice mid-afternoon swim in Arizona. And it's funny, Lou, because as you know, I'm moving around a little bit right now this summer. And I'm in quarantine at the Casa de Cam Stewart right now. The Stewart Studios in quarantine for 14 days. And I'm looking for a place in Vancouver for the summer. And one of the prerequisites as I get older, Lou, and I guess living the luxurious lifestyle, pool. Has to be a pool included in the condo that I moved to. It's a prerequisite. Nothing tops a nice swim, Lou, and keeps us older guys in shape, too. You know, I wish I spent more time in a pool, but that's my plan this summer. A lot of swimming.
It's great exercise for a guy of my amount of life experience. I've been swimming since I was a kid. Today I lifted weights and swam just about 1,200 yards, and then tomorrow I'll cut my grass, and then on Friday I'll do some push-ups, sit-ups, and then I will swim a mile on Friday, and I do that three times a week. Now I'm not Mark Spitz, and I'm not breaking records. But it's great work for the lungs and overall body. I played football as a kid, so my legs are all busted up, so I'm happy to be able to swim.
Yeah, you know what I enjoyed? I lived in a condo in Toronto before, and I had a pool, and I didn't utilize it for like the first, like I lived there for like 3 years or something in this building, and I swear, Lou, for like the first 2 years, I didn't even know where the pool was. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, I don't really, yeah, there it is, but I don't really know how you get in there. I don't know, like, if you need a card or the code, or I had no idea. And of course, I started going when I had like 6 months left or something like that, that I lived there, and I got addicted to it. Like, you know, I was like getting back. I'm like, man, I just want to go to the pool. And I found it, like you stated, it, you know, for various reasons, for health, but it's relaxing. Good exercise. And it's funny because, you know, the first couple of times I was in a pool, I was dying, Lou. Like, I basically swam like half a lap and I was like gasping, you know, like I was going down. And you know, I tell you, after a couple of weeks, man, I was flying back and forth, and I was like thinking, man, I need a bigger pool. You know, I was like, this pool can't contain me. So listen, before we get into the UFC, the UFC is back this week in Las Vegas. At that, so they didn't have to go to Arizona and lose backyard after all. But before we get into that, Gary Bettman held if you want to call it a press conference, it was kind of much ado about nothing. But right. Bettman held a press conference, kind of announced, and you know, I guess, listen, Lou, you know, we cover this stuff every day, so you know, me and Cam already knew this. We had broken down these matchups, the 24 team playoffs. What we didn't know for sure, that the top four seeds, whether they got a bye and it was set in stone, and it turns out, no, the top four teams at each conference will play a round robin to determine seeding while the other teams play the playoffs, the best of three of five. I saw you tweeting about this and you talking about the bastardization of the NHL playoffs. So I'll get your take on this. What was your take on the NHL's plan?
Overall, my take is to some degree, in fact, right now, even though the NHL has made some announcements, that we don't know date and time, though it is looking like we're closing in on it. I will handicap these playoffs because that's what I do. However, my biggest point, my single point, isn't to criticize the NHL for what they're trying to do. But what I do believe, and I believe it passionately, I'd love to get your and Cam's take on it, is that they are going to damage, they are going to cause massive destruction and abuse to their single greatest asset, which is their players. I've been watching hockey for decades. No one, not even freaking Bo Jackson in his prime, takes 2 months off and jumps on playoff hockey ice. These kids are not gristled from 82 games of a season. Yeah, they're fresh. Yes, they're healthy. But you're going to see pulled hamstrings, goalies with pulled groins. You're going to see more injuries because their minds will be able to execute playoff hockey. Ovechkin knows how to do it, but his body ain't going to be able to do that. No way. And I will wait until the end of the playoffs and stand on the results of injuries because it's going to be very difficult to handicap. For instance, team like Boston, a lot of continuity, some good young youth coming up. They play the right way because wide open offense isn't going to just come back. It's going to be defense and almost the old New Jersey neutral zone trap if you want to be successful. So Boston has, to me, continuity, coaching, veterans. They got everything, especially old guys with health. However, Tuukka Rask pulls a groin in the second game, and they're done.
All good points that you raise. I don't agree with all of them. I'm not ready to disagree because we don't know, but that's what makes it intriguing to me, Lou. The point number one that you raise, I agree 1,000,000%. As you stated, listen, players get hurt, like, no matter what in the playoffs, right, as is. So there's going to be injuries. You're bringing players back after this long layoff and playing super intense competitive games, i.e. playoff games. It's definitely, I totally agree with the leading to injury. But, and I don't defend the NHL often, but to their defense, they're not rushing in anything, Lou. So, look, June 1st, they're allowed to start skating. Right. No organized team practices or anything. But as of June 1st, players are allowed to go to a rink. They're allowed to go to their home arena, you know, wherever they can find one, et cetera. And they're allowed six guys, at a time on the ice together. Not organized, but, you know, skate around, fire the puck, pass the puck around, et cetera, shoot on a goalie, sort of loosen up. That's June 1st. Gary Bettman said training camps would not open. He said at the earliest, it would be July 1st. So that's what they're shooting for. So sort of a month of players skating around, getting in shape, and then a full training camp again, Lou, which with more competitive practices, scrimmages, etc. I imagine they would do sort of like, you know, in the NFL, Lou, in preseason or in training camp, intra-squad scrimmages. You know what I mean? You could play teams against each other type of thing, sort of ratchet up a little bit. But you're right. I mean, it's going to be unique. And it's a similar situation with the NBA. I mean, these guys are going to come flying out of the gate in the playoffs, and these games count. But let's get into who it helps and who it hurts, Lou. You know, what about this aspect, Lou? What's your take on it, that there's going to be no scrums allowed, and they're dead serious about it? Like, no fighting. No, and fighting isn't what it used to be in playoff hockey now. Players don't like doing it because of the suspension, etc. But, no scrums after the stop. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, you can't, like, face rake people. You can't grab people. You know, you can't gather, like, everyone in front of the net and have that little love fest that everybody has after every stop in play. And, how much intensity does that take away? And does that hurt a team like the Boston Bruins? Does it take some of the physicality away? Does it become a little bit more Olympic-style hockey, which was pretty good, Lou, when they were flying around and stuff like that? I don't know. You know what I mean?
I do. Let me comment on that. Thank you. Your points are great. And thank you because I'm not as close to it as you and Cam, so you've enlightened me to some degree. What you were just saying, Gabriel, I wanted to comment on. Damn it!
So the July 1st training camp.
Yes,
he said earlier than July 1st. So that leaves like a full month of those guys just working out on their own, Lou. Right, leading into a training camp.
I didn't want to insinuate that they were going too fast, or in fact, if anything, I want to insinuate they're going too slow, and I think they're leaving themselves way too many outs.
I know.
The good news is it looks like it's going to transpire. I'm going to surely handicap it, but I'm going to have to be aware of so much more. It's really going to be interesting to see. I don't see the month of skating and exhibition games and everything, I think, is great, but it's still it can't compare to 16 teams entering playoffs after 82 games. No matter what they do, I believe there's going to be some compromise, and I think it's going to show in the games that if you're a handicapper, you absolutely better play defensive hockey, because your Calgary's and your Toronto's say goodbye. They got no shot because it's timing and precision and speed, and that's the last thing going to come.
Yeah, some would disagree. Some would disagree. Our boy, the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart's got the Leafs winning in four against Columbus. And, you know, Lou,
first round, I mean, these first
they're best of five. They're best of five as well, the first round.
We got to know where they are. Where are these games? There's still so much more to learn. I'm kind of excited. We're talking about it.
Does it matter where they are?
Yes, because if, for instance, in the West, if Vegas gets all those games in Las Vegas, that's advantage. And I like St. Louis in the West. And in the East, if it's in Toronto, people are going to be perceived that Toronto's going to have an advantage. But say goodbye to Toronto. They're weak. They don't play defense, and I don't like their goalie. It's just that's how I feel about it. You got a team in Tampa that could lollygag their way into the finals against a Boston if Boston could get there and not have to play Boston on the way. That's a huge advantage for a team like Tampa.
I think, and as you stated, I think the general managers don't want anybody having a home advantage, right? So one of the reasons I think Los Angeles is supposedly one of the kind of the front runner right now. No one really knows. It's kind of fluid, but it's not really 9 and 10 cities. Look, they have Minneapolis, St. Paul on the list of a hub city. There was a riot there last night. Like, not only do you have coronavirus, you know what I mean, you got cops killing people there. Like they're riding on the streets. Like they're not going to Minneapolis. They're not going to Chicago.
One last thing I wanted to comment on, and that was your take on the fact that there's going to be no scrums and no face washing and everything. And for the first round where these teams are playing best 3 out of 5, which I think is way too much based on everything we've talked about right now. Yeah, in that series, that's what you're going to have. But make no mistake about this. As we get closer, when you get into conference finals and the Stanley Cup, it's on, baby, and forget about those rules. I guarantee.
Yeah, I can't argue that. Only because I was watching German soccer, and they're supposed to stay away from each other. This is soccer. Although the Germans play a physical brand. But, you know, they're supposed to stay away from each other and no post stuff. And they nearly got into a brawl yesterday. And Lou, it's like only their second game back, buddy. You know what I mean? Like they're, you know, like it was like, yeah, like two games in, and they were like, it was close to a fight. Like, you know, there was like 20 guys all in a scrum and pushing each other. And the announcers were like, there's no social distancing at all going on. Everyone, the refs were like, guys, everyone, you know, get away from each other. It's like baseball, Lou. baseball comes back, players are not allowed to spit anymore. Yeah, yeah. Like, how are you going to get a baseball player not to spit? Just like,
I'll take the over any number they get.
It's like asking a bear not to shit in the woods, Lou. Like,
that's ridiculous. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard.
They said, no, no, you guys can't spit at all. It's like, yeah, well, it's going to be a problem.
It's just going to be another unwritten rule.
Yeah, 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 I know, but we're in this. So what about the safety issue? You have any concern? Like, we even get to the safety. Do you have concern for the player's safety as far as – because I'll tell you what, like, some of these players, they're not in a massive hurry. It's funny, you brought up the Bruins. Tuukka Rask is one guy who actually stated, you know, I'm not really excited about playing in this, to be honest. He said, I got a family, and this is serious, this virus. You know, once he's between the pipes, if he's out there, I don't think it affects him. But like I said, it's not a slam dunk. Not every NHL player is like doing cartwheels about playing right now, Lou.
I think that becomes part of the handicap as you read the local NHL writers to each city, which I do religiously once these start. It becomes part of the handicap, absolutely. And that said, my concern, all I can say is I want this all to go off safely. I mean, we're all human beings together in this. So that's what I want. And that said, I don't know enough about the virus to comment intelligently, but guys of this kind of physical conditioning that are going to be out there playing that hard, to me, seem the last people that, if infected, we're going to have any kind of consequences other than a runny nose and a headache or something. And I'm not downplaying it. What I'm actually doing is highlighting how superior athletically and respiratorily these athletes are. And I think that virus is going to have a hard time penetrating them. At least that's what I hope.
Yeah, yeah. The problem is even survivors, you know, and not it doesn't happen to everybody, but pretty much like people that get it, it causes permanent lung damage. Permanent lung damage isn't good for an athlete. An athlete moving forward, right? Like that's something.
There's so much we don't know, and I totally respect that. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, they have a lot of money at stake moving forward as well. Lou, what is Gamblu? .com. All right, we got a couple minutes left here in segment one. So I don't know if you're aware, Lou, but FanDuel, they were pretty quick on this. They already set series prices because they're trying to bring some money in, obviously, and people are excited for this stuff. The Rangers and the Carolina Hurricanes, -136 against the New York Rangers. The Rangers +112. Rangers were a scrappy team, actually, before the shutdown. They sort of hit the wall. Like, they played themselves into a playoff spot, and then they got injured. They sort of hit a wall, and then the shutdown happened. But they were a scrappy team this year, the Rangers. It's the Carolina Hurricanes, and I was saying on the TV show, it's almost mandatory to me, Lou, that the Hurricanes sign that Zamboni driver. Like, let him be the third-string goalie. You're going to need depth anyways. Yeah, he's a good luck charm for you. Most of these series are close to pick-ems, Lou. Not pick-ems, but pretty much. Like the Canes are -136 against the Rangers. The New York Islanders are -120 against the Florida Panthers. The Toronto Maple Leafs, -166 against the Columbus Blue Jackets, +136 is the number right now. Edmonton Oilers, -164. Chicago Blackhawks, +134. Oilers and Blackhawks, there'll be goals, man, in that series. And, you know, it's funny because the numbers already climbed. Everyone, that's sort of the hot, like, oh, yeah, the Oilers are going to roll. The Oilers are going to roll. All right, we'll take a quick break. Get on the grid. Maurizio Filter continues. Bring it.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? Sports Grid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, Sports Grid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
The Unfiltered, the podcast continues. We're throwing it down with Lou. We'll get to the UFC in a moment. I'm just rattling off these series prices for those of you that might have been asleep all day, or I don't know, you're just getting out of jail, or you're getting out of the drunk tank, whatever you were doing. So as we stated, Carolina Hurricanes against the New York Rangers. Carolina, and these series are set in stone, guys, like once they play. So Carolina minus 136, Rangers plus 112. Florida plays the New York Islanders. The Islanders are small favorites, minus 120. They were not playing well before the stretch, when they shut things down. Maple Leafs, minus 166. And kind of with Lou, that the Leafs are screwed in a pandemic or no pandemic, right? There's a reason they haven't won since 1967. The Columbus Blue Jackets are plus 136. The Chicago Blackhawks get into the playoffs in this format. You know, they're not a worthy team. But the Blackhawks, I don't know, they got a lot of veterans, and maybe this time off gives them a spark. Very similar sort of styles, too. Oilers and Blackhawks. Oilers minus 164 against the Blackhawks. Arizona and Nashville. Here's an upset I think that can happen. The Coyotes are getting plus 110. Nashville are minus 134. Vancouver Canucks minus 136 against the Minnesota Wild. The Wild are plus 112. The Pittsburgh Penguins are the biggest favorites on the board. The Penguins are minus 205 against the Montreal Canadiens. Canadiens, plus 166. Who knows? Carey Price in a five-game series. And what would be, to me, the coolest series of them all, Lou, especially if there was scrums and there was fights and everything, because they don't like each other, and it would be a good old-fashioned Western Canadian showdown, Winnipeg and Calgary. Calgary Flames, minus 116. Winnipeg Jets, minus 106. I actually think the Jets will beat the Flames, but what do you think of the matchup, Flew?
I love them. I'm not surprised they're lined as they are. Montreal deserves to be the huge underdog because they're a one-man team. I think that Toronto's getting maybe a little too much respect because they're in the East. And I'm trying to keep quiet and unassuming, but I really, really like Arizona. Their base, they really struggle scoring goals, but they play defense, and this Kemper is back and healthy. And if he gets into a rhythm and stays healthy, that's lightning in a bottle kind of team right there. And I've been listening to your numbers, and I'm tracking the same series numbers here in Vegas. I mean, a team like Arizona, 50-1 to win the cup, I will have 6 or 7 50-80 and 100-1 shots to win the cup because I believe it's that wide open of a year and that the injuries are going to really be part of the headlines when we get done with this thing.
You know what's interesting, too, actually? So you get these teams, they're going to be playing a best of 3 of 5. Meanwhile, the Washingtons, the Bostons, the Tampas, and Philadelphia, actually a top 4 team, they're just going to be playing a round robin. So it's just a quick 3 games, settle the seeds. The other team's going to be playing real hockey, like playoffs,
exactly.
We're fighting for our life. How much of an advantage do those teams have when they meet the top seeds after, Lou, when they come flying in with already 3 to 5 real games under their belt?
I think they have huge, huge advantage, and I think that the coaches and front offices for the teams with the buys know this, and the smart ones will hook up and play glorified exhibition games that are, that really are a little bit more intense than glorified exhibition games because they know they have to prepare.
Yeah, they could bring in some other teams, bring in a college team or bring in someone, you're right, to step it up a little bit.
No, the round robin they do with each other, they'll get on the phone and they'll say, hey, you know, for the first period, we're 110%. Second period, we're going to do this with our, you know, I think it'll be totally scripted, but they're going to have to.
Lou, they're playing for seedings. They're playing for division titles. They're playing, like, you know what I mean? It counts for them.
You mean that round robin means something up there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They had to clarify. So before, Lou, exactly. Everyone thought, all right, the top four teams, and you know what I mean? Like the, you know, the Philadelphia Flyers were awaiting the winner of the Canadiens and the Penguins. No, that was the curveball. So, yeah, let me clarify that. That was the curveball. They, and I brought it up earlier, but that's the curveball. These teams are going to play a round robin, Lou. So four teams, they all play each other once. And it determines the top four seeds, right?
Now, that makes a lot more sense.
They're not – so, but still, it gives them – it's not do or die, at least. You know what I'm saying? It's not do or die. And some teams might even look at the matchup and say, well, we'd rather play this team anyways. Let's just roll over in this game. So, I don't know. But it's – the whole point was to give those teams – a little bit of a skate and a couple of games as well. And it settles seeding this way as well. It locks in the top four seeding. You know what I mean?
I love it. I love the idea. And I think the coaches up there, when I say up there, I mean those eight teams with the byes. I think those coaches up there are going to take advantage of that and try and win those games. It's only in their best interest. Listen, it's hard enough to ratchet up playoff type of intensity when things are normal in a regular season. Now, after 2 months and all this irregularity and we're living out of a suitcase in Minnesota somewhere, I mean, these coaches are going to have to get these guys ready and gristled up, and I think they'll take advantage of that, and I'm glad you enlightened me to that again because that's another evolution of this thing that makes great sense, I think.
Yeah, see, it's all it takes, Lou. I'm back in Canada for a couple of days, and I know everything about the NHL.
You're all plugged in, Gabe. You're all plugged in.
I'm always plugged, no matter where
yes,
we are.
You are.
But no, but that was the thing. You're right. Like, I didn't realize that either. I thought the top four seeds were going to be set in stone already, that they already kind of were. But no, so they're going to play a round robin, just those four teams. So three games, round robin, and then that determines the seeds. And they'll be going on at the same time while the other teams are playing. And just for people tuning in case you're wondering, they don't count in the regular season. They're just for playoff standing. So if you're wondering, oh, do I get points for a prop? Nope. Do I, you know, I got this guy to score this many goals? Nope. So like Ovechkin stats and stuff, because people, you know, Ovechkin, the goals don't count anymore. The goals don't count in those games. Regular season stats are final. So whatever regular season stat is right now, your sports book with whatever thing, at least that's another thing that's been announced. That's it. All stats are final right now in the NHL, which is a screw job. It's going to be like the NBA. You know, Lou,
Can I ask some questions there? You mean the outs out there in Jersey are telling you that the season ends here, and so basically all the unders season totals are going to get cashed, and the overs are all done.
No, they're just going to void everything, Lou. They're going to say that it wasn't enough.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. That's fair, right? And everybody has their own fine print. And you know what? You got to read the fine print when you're in this business, huh, Gabe?
Yeah, too bad. There's no fine print. What happens if there's a pandemic for the first time in 120 years?
the fine print.
I know what you mean. I know.
It says, Lou,
it's like a football game. We all know it. 55 minutes must be played, right? I got screwed like that before. Lightning struck once. Florida State were playing Savannah State, all right? And Savannah State might have been like the worst football team in the history of college football, Lou, like 5 years ago, okay? 7 years ago. And like Savannah State, they lost like literally like 77-0 to Oklahoma State in week one. It was like, what was that bad? It was like 76-0 or something like that. And so the next week they were going to Tallahassee, Lou. And they were playing Florida State. And the point spread was like, I think it was the highest point spread ever, actually.
42
it was like,
or something.
No, dude, it was 54 and a half, 55 and a half.
Wow. Okay.
Lou, it was like 65-0, bro. 65-0, and it's a Florida. It's in Tallahassee, early September.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Rain and, of course, you know, lightning and tornadoes in the air, hurricanes, you know, one of those. It's a 65-0 bloodbath. So they called it. They, you know, they were like, yeah, Florida State wins. No need to play anymore. They were like, you know, it goes in the books as Florida State. And then the announcer was like, yeah, it's kind of, you know, but for bettors out there, they called the game at the 52-minute mark, and you need 55 for it to count. They were already covering, Lou. You know what I mean? It's so frustrating. Like, look, can you imagine, Lou? Look at this. The Toronto Raptors win total, Lou, all right, was 46.5, bro, for the year. They play 82 games, like the NHL, 82 games. Their win total was 46.5 wins. They had 17 games to go, Lou. They were at 46. Like, you don't get paid for the over. Something tells me they would have won one more effing game, bro, out of the 16. Because you can all, oh, no, you never know what happened. No. They were going over 46.5. Bet void.
Yeah.
Bro. Doesn't count.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I have one pretty aggressive hockey play. And I'll tell you, it was Arizona over 88.5 points on the year. And I don't think I was going to get there. It was going to come down to the last game. And it gets wiped out. And you know what? I'm happy. I'll be glad to give it back.
Oh, lucky Lou, huh? Oh, lucky
well,
Lou.
Well, it doesn't always work that way. But I will tell you this, Gabriel. When I was a young gambler and I would have something like that happen to me, and inevitably we all do, you know, you learn the lesson. What's the fine print say? And you say, fine print, what are you talking about? You're thinking common sense rules. Oh, no. You go read the fine print, and then you get beat on something like you just described, then now you know that rule forever. You'll never get beat on it again.
No, you're exactly right. I've been warning people with this, with NFL betting. I see people talking about NFL win totals and this and that. I'm like, yeah, you better know your rule. You better know the rules of the book, right? Like people are, you know, it says 16 games must be played. I don't know if there's going to be 16 games played. DeMaurice Smith, the NFLPA guy, said everyone just thinks football is happening. He goes, I'm not so sure, at least not in September, et cetera. The NFL even has it's not even a secret for people to follow this stuff. The NFL has a contingency plan of a 14 and a 12-game schedule. And all the books for your win total say 16 games must be played. But, you know, it doesn't for division totals, for wins and stuff like that. Or for there'll still be a rookie of the year. Let's say they played 11 games this year, Lou, or 12 games. There'd still be a rookie of the year. So, like, the rookie of the year prop still stands. So, like, you really got to read the fine print of stuff you're betting. Otherwise, you just sort of throw money up into cyberspace for nothing.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. You better know if you want to dabble, you better know what you're doing. And also, just one thing, and I've said it with you before. Listen, we don't know when the season starts. We don't know how many games. We know so little. If you're betting an over in an NFL season win, a season win total, and you're betting an over, you're absolutely completely, you hate money. and you hate it so bad, let me just give you my address. Just send it to me. The only thing you should be looking at in NFL is unders right now. And the best one, the one that sticks out just like the sun exploding, would be Tampa Bay. As soon as they reach 10, and the bettors are going to push it to 10, when Tampa Bay reaches 10, that's a farm bet on the under. You know what the farm bet is? It's bet the farm.
With the cows and the chickens and everything on it, right?
Everything you got.
It's like the movie Two for the Money. Cheesy movie, but it's a good line when Al Pacino says, Matthew McConaughey tells him it's a lock. Al Pacino says, Would you bet your house on it? And he goes, with my mother in it.
Yeah, that, like, is a cheesy movie.
That's not a bad beat waiting to happen. Say dropping your mother's name like that. Oh yeah, with my mother in it. Like, yeah, nice guy.
Every time I've been that confident in a gamble, I've lost. And so it's been 10 years since I've been that confident in a gamble.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. As I get older, Lou, I realize, I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'm just hoping for the best here. I do the work I can. I used to be like, no, I'm kidding. You're right. I don't do that anymore either. I'm getting a little bit wiser as we move forward. All right, Lou, so let's get into some fighting. We got one more segment left after. But let's get into some fighting. So we were talking about what do you think is an advantage and stuff. So I look forward to your take, and I look forward to Joey's take later in the week on this. So they're fighting at the Apex in Las Vegas. No fans, obviously. So they have the Dana White Contender Series, UFC Performance Center. Fighters will be familiar with the city, the premises, etc. But what do you make of the 25-foot cage as opposed to a 30-foot cage? Who is that an advantage for? A wrestler, striker, neither, both. Interesting dynamic here. And, you know, this is when I need my old Reed Kuhn Fightnomics book. I need to find because, you know, shorter cage data. Are there more knockouts? Does it get crazier? Like, you know, what happens in a smaller cage? 25-foot cage as opposed to 30-foot at the Apex Center.
Yes, and I'm glad you bring that up early, Gabriel, because it's a huge factor, to be quite honest. Is it a factor for Mighty Mouse and Cejudo? Maybe less of a factor for the smaller people because they still have ample room to move. However, when you start to talk about a 25-foot cage and you put a couple of big boys in there, like Kitson Abreu, the young man he's going to fight, Jamal Hill. They're 205-pounders, so they're light heavies. And then you put a ref in there, I'm telling you, it's going to look like they're in a damn phone booth, especially
since
most recent cards have all featured the larger 30-foot cage. All the fights in Florida had the larger cage. So how would
a good point that you throw with the ref, actually, too. It's the third man
well,
in
you
there.
Well, you got it. You got three men in there.
Yeah.
And in the large cage, the refs are good. These refs are good, and so you hardly recognize that they're in there. You're going to know they're in there when you watch this fight Saturday night, especially if it's Herb Dean. You guys are going to be tripping over each other almost. All right. Of course, I exaggerate, but it's a very big difference.
All right, so listen, we're taking a break in a couple of seconds here, so I'll continue it. But I want to throw it out there. Listen, if you're a striker, you'd say, well, kind of an advantage because it puts you in a phone booth. There's less room for your fighter to use the angles and get away. But you can also argue if you're a wrestler, it gives you more space. Fighters can't distance themselves and protect themselves from a takedown as much as maybe they'd like to. We'll continue this on the other side, and we'll get into Woodley and Burns.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Renzi, I'm Renzi, I'm Filter, great in the loop joins us. So let's get into the UFC right now. We were just talking about the cage being 25 feet as opposed to 30. Great point to Lou talking about the referees. Some of these refs are pretty big dudes too. So you throw them into the cage. But as I was saying, Lou, you know, like if you're fighting a really good wrestler, some guys, you know, they're gonna keep their distance. You know, a good example was like Waterson. You know, we talked about it. She social distanced too much during that fight. She, you know, she was so worried about getting taken down. She was swinging in air, and there was too much distance between her and Esparza. And, you know, so Esparza couldn't get the takedowns, but Waterson didn't do anything. So I'm just stating that if you're a wrestler, you can shoot in pretty fast now, Lou, and get a takedown. But he doesn't have that same little room to back up or to the space that he would like. You know, so I'm thinking like a Woodley could shoot in pretty fast and get a takedown without telegraphing it. But at the same point in time, a striker, he's got your ass in a phone booth as well. So I sort of see both sides of it, Lou.
Well, but I think you have to break it down fight for fight. And I think there's a number of fights on this card that would allow me to do exactly that. It may be less in the main event, but let's go to the co-main event, Sakai and Ivanov. Oh, by the way, big 265-pound heavyweight, Sakai 6'4", and Ivanov, yep, a bowling ball at 5'11". And so what you have here is a guy in Sakai, and I'm really not impressed with his. He beat Arlovski, he beat Sherman before Sherman was even competent, and a guy in Martin Tabura that, you know, is good, okay? Ivanov's been in there with better, and they're going to be in a sardine can. And so Sakai, yeah, he's a striker, but he needs room and range, and he's not going to be provided that. And this change in the octagon size is a dynamic advantage for Ivanov. And for that reason, I'm going to bet him, because I believe it's going to force them to be together and inside up close. It's Ivanov inside the pocket that's going to be affected, and Sakai with his long reach is going to have a hard time finding the space to deliver strikes at distance.
It's a good, you know, listen, it's a very valid point. You often like the younger guy. You know, and I hear what you're saying as far as Ivanov, that, you know, 2-2 in his last four, but who do you fight? Junior Dos Santos, you know, he's been thrown in there, Derek Lewis, etc. He's fought in champs, guys that have fought in real guys. He's fought in real heavyweights. As you stated, Sakai, you know, Andre Arlovski. Listen, Arlovski beat the Linz guy last week, so we'll give him that. But I totally hear what you're saying as far as the level of competition. But I'm surprised, Lou, that you didn't buy into the fact 4 years younger, 4 inches taller, and reach advantage.
Yes, because and I do.
And the short cage, good point that you raised, doesn't give him the room to use that all that size. Right?
And that's why. And you're going to see a theme. I'm going to mention two or three fights, and it's all the same thing. I'm not taking the longer range of your guy in this shorter cage. That's how much I think it affects the way these fights will go. And oh, by the way, David Copperfield decided to use this smaller cage to create more action for his organization. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say David Copperfield. I meant to say Dana White.
That's quite the slip of the tongue.
Like, yes, it is.
Well, they're both magicians in a way. Like that. I was like, where's he going with David Copperfield? And I was like, what, did David Copperfield have like something to do with the cage construction? In Vegas, he helped, you know, I tell you, Lou, there's been times where I've had money on a fighter and I wish they could disappear in the octagon.
No doubt about it.
I wish we had David Copperfield's powers at times. Okay, so, yeah, great show today. Interesting topic. So let's get to the main event and your take on this one, whether you think it's the best bet or not. But I find it interesting. I know you were leaning Woodley when we talked about this last week, and the number's gone up, though. I mean, Woodley was in the 160s, 155s. Now he's up to 184. Man, the underdogs keep covering, cashing and covering in these main events. And I don't know, is it the public, Lou? Is it the – remember, we wondered how the sport fan would handle it. I don't know. It seems like the evidence is almost in, isn't it, that the public seems to hammer the favorite in the main events. And let's be real, the casual sport fan – hell, the casual MMA fan – doesn't know who half these guys are on the card. It's essentially a Dana White contender series card. So the average sports fan, look, Scotty Farrell has been covering the sport a long time. Farrell said the other day on the show, I never heard of these guys, right? Unless you're a hardcore UFC fan, you know, no one knows who the hell most of these fighters are on this card. So there's going to be a lot of action on the main event. What do you make of a big movement towards Woodley? And, you know, Woodley is, you know, he's 38, but I feel like he's a young 38, Lou. And I almost feel like he's got a grudge. He knows everyone hates him. He knows everyone mocks him. He's better than people give him credit for. He's so well-rounded, good wrestler, good striker, high fight IQ. Is he boring? Maybe. But I'd rather boring and not get killed. And you look at a fight against Usman, that was a weird fight. It's like he didn't try. You know, I don't know. Like, I've never seen him like that. Like, he psychologically, he didn't care. He's got a weird thing with Dana. I don't know what his deal was. But I don't know if I'm falling for him, but I saw one of his little TMZ interviews or whatever it was. And he actually said, he goes, people, like, you know what I mean? You don't underestimate me. He goes, I'm coming in here to kill this guy. And he goes, I'm going to send a lesson that Woodley ain't done yet. He goes, everyone thinks he's done. Sometimes you need to hit rock bottom in a bad performance to find yourself. Has Woodley found himself, do you think, after that lethargic performance in which he really didn't seem to care about giving up his belt?
I think what happened to Woodley happened to Cain Velasquez, happened to Conor McGregor, has happened to so many young, talented fighters through the years that it would take us the rest of the podcast to mention. But he started sleeping in silk sheets and thinking he was a rap star. He didn't want to fight anybody. And he learned his lesson, and he looked terrible against Usman. And, oh, by the way, who trains with Gil Burns? Kamaru Usman. So Burns knows what he has to do, and Burns enters this thing with a 47% submission rate in his wins. So we know what Burns wants to do. The thing is, and he's going to be aided by the closer confines of the smaller cage. So is he going to be able to, for five rounds, try and engage Woodley and take him down? Well, Woodley features 92% takedown defense, and let's not forget that Gil Burns started his career at 55, had trouble making weight, but more importantly, that tells me he's a little bit of a tweener. And he's a tweener because he wanted to do 55, couldn't do it. Now at 70, yeah, he looked good against Damian Maia, who's almost Uncle Louie's age, and he looked good against a one-dimensional Gunnar Nelson and another glorified lightweight in Kunchenko. And those are his only three fights at 170. Woodley's an ex-champ. He's gone astray, but I believe, and my research tells me, he's found his focus. And a highly motivated Woodley with, yes, he's an inch shorter, and yes, he's 5 years older, but he's got 3-inch reach advantage, and he's got also a 3-inch reach advantage with his legs. He's a striker, he's explosive, he's powerful, and it's going to come down to Will Burns get busted up on his way in and Woodley's 92% takedown defense. I handicap Tyron Woodley in this spot as minus 250 minimum. And so anything under that, I think, is a very good play on Woodley. But I wouldn't get too engaged in does it go the distance or over under, because Woodley can really put in stinkers. I don't think this is one. I think he's going to put Burns' lights out. But I'll just stick with the fact that Woodley under 2-1 is a great bet, and I think that the public's going to come in on – I think the public is on Gil. The early movement on Woodley, I think, was sharp, and I think the public's coming in on Gil, so you might want to be patient.
I hear what you're saying with the total, and you're right. There's always a danger. Listen, if Burns somehow catches Woodley and Woodley's done, gets him in a submission, or Woodley just goes ultra-violent like he was talking about, and, you know, he gets his back somehow and starts raining punches. Yet one thing with Woodley, his tank is deep, Lou. We've seen this before. That's the one thing. The guy's a great athlete, man, right? He's a great athlete. Those Missouri Tiger guys, Ben Askren, Michael Chandler, Tyron Woodley, they're all tough as nails. They're all real good athletes. They've all got gas tanks. They can dig down deep. That Missouri wrestling trainer, they're just badasses, those guys, those Missouri. They don't get enough credit, the Missouri Tiger guys. A lot of just nasty dudes. Came out of that wrestling program. And we've seen him. I mean, Lou, like four of his last five fights have gone the distance, Woodley. And we're talking 25-minute wars. And some war, some boring as well. But I like Woodley's fight IQ, Lou, as well. He doesn't fight, and it pisses Dana off. Or, excuse me, David Copperfield. It pisses the powers that be off. You know, he doesn't fight for the fans. He doesn't really fight for excitement. He's just trying to win the fight, actually. You know what I mean? And I don't mind betting on a guy like that because I know he, you know, Woodley really doesn't get stupid. He's kind of cautious, actually, you know?
Great point. And he's in there, guys. And again, I'm going to say something that's going to sound kind of terrible and kind of prejudiced, but it isn't. You know, Mexican fighters don't fight till they get hit. And Brazilian fighters got the IQ of a box of hammers. And I give Gil Burns that exact benefit. And I think Tyron Woodley, you mentioned a great point. He will be emotionally way stronger than Gil Burns.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I remember, Lou, I said it years ago on the Fight Network. I said, I'm going to upset people. I said, you guys ever notice? I remember you were on board with it. I said, you guys ever notice Brazilians are like choking in big fights like all the time? Like they never win big fights. And I said, basically in the post-Roy era, you know what I mean? But yeah, in the old days, they were juiced up and it'd mess you up. But like Amanda Nunes is kind of one of the few ones that has been mentally strong and consistent. You know, I'm not trying to diss, you know, Anderson Silva because, you know, greatest of all, one of the greatest of all time. But, you know, you look at Vanderlei, you look at Vitor. They were just sort of sheer force, right? Explosive balls of explosiveness. Wasn't like fight IQ and stuff like that. And I sort of see that. Like, it burns. This fight starts moving forward into the third round and stuff as it goes forward. I think it's a big advantage for Woodley. He's been in this situation before. He, you know, and like you said, I'm not – everyone's freaking out because Burns knocked Damian Maia out. Like you said, Damian Maia's like, you know, the guy's not a young guy, man. Yeah, I don't want to call him old because I'm older than he is, but you know what I'm saying. He's not a young fighter.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, you look back far enough, Burns got iced by Hooker. Now, you know, that was 155 and a long time ago, but let me tell you something. Woodley on a sneeze has more power than Dan Hooker with a left hook.
Yeah, good. Well put. All right, Lou, we got 5 minutes left, so what other fights you looking at on this card?
Okay, so I like Ivanov. I like Woodley. Another fight, Rosie Roberts. They're fighting at 155. 6'2", long, rangy kind of a guy, is fighting this Indian, a Native American, Brock Weaver. And this is another fight where I think Rosie Roberts needs room in a big cage, and the short cage could help Weaver, and he's a huge underdog. The other one that now is
you're
similar
just,
to
you're
that.
You're just Mr. Politically Correct today.
Well, I just look at this is neat to me, but at the same time,
I know.
We
you
all
know what?
Have 46.
It looks like a fun fight, and I was surprised because when I looked at that fight, I didn't see it as much of a mismatch as the line of 320, Lou. I was surprised to see the number that high, actually.
Yeah, and they're really both submission guys. I mean, Roberts is going to be long and have range, and Weaver accepts 13 strikes per minute, so he's got no defense. He's going to come straight forward and try and crowd Roberts. It's going to be action-packed. Both guys really are very good submission guys. I think Weaver's got a chance just because he's tough and dedicated. And similarly, go down the way, Abreu against Jamahal Hill. Jamahal Hill at 205, a lefty, 6'4", 79-inch reach, long, lanky, daddy long legs guy, and he's got some striking ability. Abreu is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu specialist, realizes 67% of his wins by sub. So where's this fight going to go? In a 30-foot cage, it's all Hill, and I'd vomit on him. But in a 25-foot cage, I think Abreu is going to be able to get him against the cage. Hill's got no takedown defense. Was taken down numerous times in an earlier fight against Stošić, and Abreu is way better than Stošić because Abreu's 205 and Stošić was 185. I really like Abreu in this fight at close to even money. Brock Weaver, maybe a half a unit as a big dog, Ivanov, and Tyron Woodley.
Any thoughts on the and I hate when people do this, when, you know, when you post a bunch of picks on Twitter, I'll post like six NFL games and someone will ask me about a seventh game I didn't mention. I'll be like, if I liked it, I would have posted it. Right. So, but I'll ask you just quickly, what about one of the women's fights here with Shishenko and Chookagian?
That would have been probably the one that I would have mentioned outside of Hill and Abreu. I do like the fight. I think Chookagian 4-2 as a flyweight should be the favorite. And I'm a little surprised that Shevchenko is in favorite status. Maybe that's because they all know her sister and they fight Antonia with Valentina, but they shouldn't do that. I do like Chookagian, especially as a dog here. Now, this fight is going to be dictated by, again, the ring size. So if Chookagian can keep in space and distance, she's going to cut Shevchenko to ribbons. That said, Shevchenko wants to infight, and if she clasps onto Chookagian, it could be a long night for Chookagian. And so I think that one is the reason I left it alone is because the cage size probably favors Shevchenko. Listen to this one. Shevchenko, 77% of her fights end in decision. Chookagian, 71% of her fights end in decision. Whatever the under 2.5 is, plus 400, plus 4 something, why wouldn't you play just a couple of pennies on that?
LouGamblu.com. Check him out on Twitter. Check out his website later in the week. Still good week right now for all the best plays. It's always a pleasure. Stay safe. Thanks for the time, Lou.
Thanks, Gabriel. Good luck, everyone.
Lou!
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.